Blog
I'm back again on January 25th, 2012. And I'm going to start the day off with a quotation that is right out of the Daily News. Here it is. The bigger the government, the smaller the individual. Isn't that what Ron Paul says? Yes, it is. And I want to say here that this has relevance in a much larger sphere as well, because if you think the universe, not the government, but the universe is going to take care of things, you won't do anything yourself. In fact, you won't feel empowered to do anything yourself because everything is out of your hands and it's going to work out well even if you can't do anything. And a lot of things, unfortunately, in our culture contribute to this idea that you can be passive, but everything is just gonna be fine. Look, we won World War II, didn't we? We won the Cold War, didn't we? Everything's great. And we're totally brainwashed by movies. That's not just history. Movies with happy endings are not good for you. And TV shows in which the hero cop or the smart lawyer always wins is not good. If you see that happening week after week after week when you're a young, impressionable little kid, you just assume that there's something good going on in the universe and it's on your side. It's on the side of right. But that isn't true. There's going to be anywhere. I screwed up. If there is going to be any good in the world, it depends on you. And here's something else that's true. When people get powerful, they get arrogant. And a few months ago, the big boss at Google, Eric Schmidt, he vowed that Google Plus would only allow users to have regular names. If you weren't John Smith or Mary Jones, they didn't want any part of you. And to prove it, they suspended my account. There will be no recruiting animals on my side, said Eric Schmidt. Animals, and other non-humans will not be allowed ever. But the recruiting animal knew that no lawyer was going to rescue him. The recruiting animal knew that no wise guy cop was going to save the day. So he started to complain endlessly. And you know what? The giant caved in. Just like the Soviet Union, my account on Google Plus has now been restored. Eric Schmidt and Brad Horowitz, the VP of Google Plus, they looked at my Twitter account with almost 8,000 followers, and they said, you know what? We were wrong. The recruiting animal is a real person. He's just as real as you and me. I stood up to the power because I knew that no one else was going to do it for me. Yeah, not Barack Obama, not Ron Paul, nobody. And you can do it too, but you know what? It's not guaranteed. The ancient Greeks, they knew that. Their entertainment was all about tragedy. But that said, I'm hoping today's show will not be a tragedy because I planned it, listen, around somebody else. A month ago, we set it up. But then she canceled at the last minute, as I'll explain once the show starts. Jerry, can you tell us? What show is this? Jerry, tell us.
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Kepi Careers, because her careful reading of the Google Plus rules helped me to pursue my case. Miriam Salpeter from Kepi Careers, thank you. And I'll just spell that because I know it's difficult. At Kepipie underscore careers. You see, that's why I'm always preaching about having a name that is easy to communicate. I want to recommend Kepi Careers to you. I'm happy for what she did for me, but it's hard. I have to spell it. I know you're never going to remember it. If it was Stinky Careers, that's a bad name, but it's easy to remember. You'll never forget it. So there's a lesson for you. There's a lesson in everything. Now, Amy Alla, are you here?
I am here.
Oh, that's great. That's great, Amy. Now, Amy, I want to talk before
okay,
we get going. I want to talk about the origin of today's show for a minute, okay?
Let's do it. All right.
And then I'm going to ask you some questions about that, so hold your hat. I had guest scheduled for about a month, like I just said. A month ago, I scheduled her, and I was interested in her because she has a blog on which she actually names the people who haven't paid her. And I was interested in someone who... I was interested in someone who was bold and ready to kick ass. And, you know, but then yesterday, I spoke to her on the phone. I don't always speak to people. I've never spoken to you, I don't think.
No, not outside the show. Yep.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I had a chat with her, and she said, you know what, Animal, I was advised not to mention any names on your show. I said, what? She said, well, I'm in court with some of these guys. I said, who advised you? No answer. Dead silence on the phone. I said, uh-oh. So, look, I said, okay, that's fine. You don't mention any names, but I just want you to know that I'm going to get angry on the show, and I might call you a few names. And you know what? My callers might get angry, too, because you seem to be a hero. But all of a sudden, when you get on the air, you get cold feet, and we're tired of being used. Surely, I said, you can understand that. Well, listen to this, Amy. She said, well, in that case, Animal, I'm not so sure I should come on your show. I have new clients, she said. Amy, I know you comment on this. I have new clients who I'm trying to develop. And if some of your callers call me an idiot, what are my clients going to think? And I said, look, honey. I said, look, honey, do you really think anyone's going to hear you on this show? That's mistake number one. Well, she said, then I don't have any reason to be there, do I? And if you would have called me, Animal, a week in advance, like you should have, I wouldn't have to leave you in the lurch, and you would have had time to find a new guest. But I didn't have time to find a new guest. I had to settle for the first person who came my way. And luckily, it was the lovely Amy Alla who won the most popular guest award for 211. Thank you, Amy, for being my guest today.
I am so humbled that you settled for me. But that, I mean, that just hits me right there.
But
know?
I settled good. Come on. Okay? You have to add that, too. I settled good. And you know what? That's just so typical. And, you know, this stuff about pleasing your clients, I saw you wrote about it on your blog, and we're going to have a little talk about
that. Oh, I can't wait. My coworkers are, like, anxiously cuddled around the computer.
Oh, they're hearing. Okay, because I noticed you said, look, if any of the people working for me said this kind of stuff, I would fire them on the spot.
Immediately.
So,
no question.
I'd be kind of worried. You know, in fact, I'd be listening to the show, and when you said something stupid, I'd say to myself, if I was the boss, she'd be gone. But I'm not.
I wouldn't say anything that stupid. I mean, it was bad.
Okay, well, let me ask you something first of all. Yesterday, I posted an article on recruitingblogs.com, and it was called Desperate for Guests. And I said, for some strange reason, the Recruiting Animal Show is desperate for guests. I need guests. So please ask yourself, do I want to be or do you want to be a guest on the number one online call-in show about recruiting and careers in the entire world? So Jerry Albright, Jerry writes this comment. He said, Animal, you're posting smacks of desperation. Well, I said I was desperate, right? He says, you can tell you're not in sales. Try this headline instead. Animal Show finally considering new guests. Follow it up with some BS about how the show's been, blah, blah, blah. I can't remember. And you know, it's been a while since you've been able to see a clear calendar. And so now you think it's a great time to spotlight some hot new talent. Now, Amy, here's the question for you. My posting was true. Jerry's was a lie. he says
I don't
his
think
was,
it was a lie.
He
I think
says
was.
His was good salesmanship and mine wasn't. What does that say about sales? Sales is lying, right?
Sales is perception. Sales is targeting your message to the audience in a way that they'll be receptive to it.
You know, that's meaningless, okay? I'm going to tell you, I'm not 100% against lying, okay? I don't know. I noticed that you had a, when I was setting up the show, I noticed that you had a picture of yourself on recruitingblogs.com. I'll plug them again, recruitingblogs.com. You were holding up cookies beside a Christmas tree.
I was.
And I said to myself, wow, is that Amy Alla or Heather Graham? I was beside myself.
Oh, come on.
I'm not kidding. And I said, I don't know what Amy Alla looks like in real life. You know, I mean, I don't know what you look like when you wake up in the morning, but you should be using, I said, she should be using this picture online in her Twitter profile and her Recruiting Blogs profile because, and also on LinkedIn, because it is very good. So I don't really care if it represents reality. It might not. But you see, the thing is, that kind of lying is not hurting anybody. It's just making everybody happy. And it might not even be lying. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's not without effort, but it really is me. And I didn't even Photoshop that one. I was running out the door to my in-laws. It was actually Christmas Day.
Yeah,
and
okay,
I
didn't ask for the details. I just wanted to make it clear.
And you got them and, you know, it's
Jerry's
okay,
version of
that.
Selling is lying. It's just really clear. My version is telling the truth. And sometimes lying if it doesn't hurt anybody and it's going to make everyone happy.
but I don't
noticed
think Jerry was lying. I think that
absolutely.
He was.
Why wasn't that lying?
Which part of it was a falsehood?
Okay, we're moving on. I've made a mistake in recent weeks. I've made a mistake. I let people talk too much instead of just cutting them off and say, next question. Amy, you said in one of your postings that business development people suck. If I end up talking, you know, you said when you're dealing with third-party recruiters, sometimes there's a division of labor on the third-party agency side. You got the salesman or the saleswoman, whom you call the business development person, and you got the dumb sucker who's really doing all the work looking for the candidates. And you said if I end up talking to the recruiter who is finding the candidates, I often find the business development dude told him very little about my company, and what he did learn was wrong. Tell me something about the salespeople. Go ahead.
They, the one in particular that this blog that
can I interrupt you for a second?
Sure. Oh, really? You're going to ask me permission to interrupt me? You're not going to just do it?
I have to ask if Maureen Sherub is here.
I'm here.
Are you watching Twitter today, dear?
I am, and they want you to get going.
You know what? What is that getting going business all the time? First of all, can I just point out something? Jerry, the shouter, is not here. Did he warn me? No. I think he thought the show was yesterday. I think
he's
a genius who tells me how to sell. I think he thought the show was yesterday, okay? And I'm tired of people telling me that the show is not moving fast enough for them. Tune in at 12:15 if you don't like the introduction, okay? It's the same every week. You should know it already. I'm tired of your complaints. I brought Google down, eh? And I'll do the same to you. Okay, Amy.
I just wonder how many of the new generation, though, actually knows who the Soviet Union is.
You might be right. I didn't think of that. They're so ignorant.
Really
I read, and you know what? I'm going to stall a little more. Speaking of Gen Y, I read on the internet this week that like 50% of the teens who got pregnant said they didn't realize they could get pregnant if they didn't use birth control. These guys are going around bragging that Gen Y is super smart and well-informed. What kind of idiot doesn't know that you can get pregnant if you don't use birth control? It's unbelievably stupid if those statistics are true. Anyway,
the same
now
one who expects
me
a trophy for playing crappy soccer.
I don't think that's a myth. But anyway, I don't think that's so bad. I think I believe no child left behind. Everybody's good about themselves. It doesn't rule out the idea that someone's better than you, but you don't have to be left out and ignored totally, okay?
You don't not every kid deserves a trophy. Come on. Seriously?
Yeah,
you think every kid should get a trophy?
Yes, I do.
Showing up for practice?
Yes, I do. I said it five times.
No.
Okay, we got to get
you don't
to
get
Amy.
A trophy for showing up, but anyway.
Amy,
that's right.
Amy, let's go to the real world. Talk about the business development
let's
people,
do it.
Okay?
So, so this is actually, you like war stories? This is exactly what went down. This kid, he approached me through LinkedIn. He admitted, hey, I'm new to the business. I don't know what I'm doing. I really want to be successful. You've been doing this for a while. Help me out. And I said, okay, you know what? I'm gonna do something nice. I'm going to help this kid. He seems like a nice kid. Are we going to make a fill with him? Probably not. But maybe, who knows? You never know. It's good to pay it forward, right? So I have him come out, and I've shown him around and introduced him to people and give him a job order. And, I warned him, here's the situation. It's not an easy one. It's not going to be
Amy,
an ideal situation.
Amy,
what?
Amy, before you were married, did you give out a lot of pity sex or something like that?
Lordy, lordy.
I just want to know if this routine really works. I mean, should I be using that?
I mean, my Heather Graham pose. You know?
I mean, people can't see me. I mean, and if I saw that Heather Graham picture, I might consider it. I would say, I'm just new, and I really want to be ahead, and I just give me a chance. I mean, is that a good approach?
I don't know, but I think it's really cute. You're comparing sex to job orders all of a sudden. That's wow. How'd we get there?
I think that's quite normal, but I just want to know, does that pity you gave, you said, I'm going to be a nice person, I'm going to give the guy a break.
Yeah, I was trying something new. I was going to be nice to somebody for a change.
It didn't cost you anything anyway, right?
And I got a free cup of coffee. He bought me a cup.
Oh, you
of
actually
coffee,
went out
so.
With the person?
No, he came to my office. We have a barista on site. So.
Oh, I see. Okay,
yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Anyway, when the point is, I just want to know, just to clarify, should I use that routine? Should I ask for, just let me, give me a chance. I'm new. I want to get ahead. Is that a good approach? Generally, I mean, you gave the guy a break this time.
Well, if you've been in the business for 6 months and this is your first real recruiting job and you're actually can back up what you're saying, yeah, it makes sense. If some guy has been doing it for 15 years, tried that, come on, that's not going to work.
But he could fake it, right? Maybe not with LinkedIn around.
No, I don't think, I mean, he's very young, baby-faced kid, reminded me of one of my teenagers. I mean, he's...
I got a question for you as well. I'm sorry, everybody who wants me to get down to business. You've actually, on recruiting blogs, got a picture of your son, and he's in the Air Force.
Like,
the guy might be 21. He looks like a grumpy old man.
That it's an Air Force picture. He's 19, and, that's the look.
He looks like my dad. I got scared looking
like
at that picture. What did they tell him to frown and look mean?
I think they do. It's kind of sad. But he also just found out he's going to Minot in North Dakota, so it could have been that as well.
Okay, so let's come back to recruiting. Tell us the story.
Let's do
Go
it.
Ahead.
So this kid comes out, and I give him the pity job order, I guess, not to be confused with pity sex. And he goes back to the office, and he's, real excited, and he's happy, and he's communicating with me regularly, and I'm trying to guide him. I'm trying to give him as much info as I can and kind of give him, I treated him much more kindly than I would someone experienced because I knew he didn't have the background. So I was trying to help him out. He got so angry with me because we rejected a candidate. He got so angry with me, he sent this ridiculous email blasting me and my company and saying that we had wasted an entire day of him and his team's time and made him look bad to his team, and he's the new guy and he had a lot to lose and wham, 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 wham.
Yeah?
Yeah, not appropriate. So I didn't respond because I had nothing nice to say, and, I know better than to send an email that I don't want to be repeated and shared into the universe. So I just didn't respond. And then, of course, it turns out that another candidate who had been submitted, the hiring manager actually wanted to speak with him. So great, now we have to loop this agency back in. So I call the agency and I asked to speak with someone else. And they said, well, you work with so-and-so. I said, no, I don't. Not going to work with him. We want to interview your candidate. I can work with you, or we cannot interview the candidate. You pick. So then I start talking to the actual recruiter who has a relationship with this candidate and setting everything up, and he had no idea the details of the job. I mean, he knew the details of the job, but he didn't know the terms that we were looking for, contract to hire as opposed to perm placement. He didn't know what the hours were. He didn't know what the hiring manager was like. All the information I had shared with business development never made it to the actual recruiter. And he says, oh, things have changed. No, nothing changed. This is what I've said up front from day one, and here's all the emails and conversations I've had around it. Nothing changed. Your business development guy is an idiot.
Okay, I thought you were speaking to the business development guy then.
No, no, I refused to speak to the business development guy. I called
the
agency.
Was the business. Oh, the little cheeky kid was the business development guy. You're now talking to the recruiter who's doing the
searching.
Now
I'm talking to the actual
recruiter.
Okay,
look, I got
to
tell you something. I've done a lot of splits. I'm going to pick this up so I don't lose too many listeners, okay? Although it's a good story. I just have to cut you short. I've worked on a lot of splits, and I'm always the guy who's doing the grunt work, the hard work, the sourcing, the recruiting. The other person is just managing the relationship. They're usually huggy bear type people. In my experience, some of them are quite tough behind the scenes, but when they're out there with the client, they're very nice. And they don't like to ask for too many details because they don't want to show that they don't know anything, right? And so then I'm left with almost nothing to work at, you know, just guessing about what the job really is and what they're looking for. The odd time when I was working with these larger firms, I was on, and it was in Toronto, I would go out to the client. And you know what? The business development person wouldn't ask one question. I would ask all the questions. And afterwards, they were kind of upset that I asked so many questions, all the practical questions. They're embarrassed by them, and I usually have to beg them, I'm not kidding, to go back and find something out, especially when I work my ass off trying to find somebody and the guy gets turned down. I go crazy. That's how it works. And the reason is, I'm going to give you your chance again. The reason is they think that people like you are not into pity sex, and if we show that we can't, you know everything right off the bat, that you're going to just blow us away. And I have no sexual innuendos there. In a bad way, you're going to get rid of us. I want to know, is that true?
No, I will respect you more if you ask me questions. I mean, I don't understand what's wrong with these people that you and I are unfortunately working with, because how can you possibly do a good job finding this person for me as my agency partner if you don't know everything you need to know and you don't ask questions that I haven't thought to tell you?
Let me tell you a story. I'm not taking this lying down. I don't care what the people on Twitter think, okay? Now, I used to go for a while. I said, you know what? I'm working too much on the phone. I'm going to call up a bunch of senior executives, and me and my buddy, another recruiter who I like, we're going to go out and visit them and pitch them for business, right? So I called tons of people I didn't know, and what do you know? They all said, sure, come in and talk to us. And we went out there, one company. It's a fairly big company. They were manufacturing and retailing leather coats. And so the guy was out there. You know how they say build rapport? He used to be the VP of a big bookstore here. And I used to go there all the time, and I loved it. And when they closed up, when they sold out, I was shocked. And we had a long conversation about that. And my buddy liked to ride motorcycles, and this guy had motorcycles. And they had a long conversation about that. All the rapport was going. And he says to us then, he says, well, how many retail jobs did you work last year? And I said, 3. Right? He said, well, why should I use you instead of the company we're using now? They worked 50 retail jobs last year. And you know what? I'd already worked retail jobs, but the guy said it wasn't enough. There is a bias on the part of the people who are buying recruiting services. They want to know you work a niche and you know everybody in their business, and you know all the, you know, they don't even have to tell you anything about the job description. They kind of give you half a title and there you go. You're off and running. That's what they want, and that's causing the problem. Your turn.
So he wants quantity over quality? That would be my question.
And he's talking to you for a reason.
Go ahead. Who's saying that? Alan?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, they're talking with you for a reason, so if you just ask him some more questions, you might get to the heart
of the
matter.
Like what questions? That guy might have had me out there for pity sex, for all I know, okay?
Oh, Lord.
What questions should I ask?
Then what you can let him know is how good you are at digging and say, you know, we're obviously sitting here talking for a reason. Tell me, they've done 50. How many of them are all 50 for you? Or have you been happy with that? Or, I mean, in a professional way, we're talking for a reason. tell you what, why don't you bring us aboard, give us a shot, we'll try it, we'll be able to produce for you, and then you can see how good we are, and in some way, making sure he understands, look, you took the meeting for a reason.
What, are you toning yourself down deliberately? I mean, you don't sound very impressive. And I'll just tell you, in that same slew of visits, I have worked lawyer jobs. I placed a lawyer by accident, kind of, at Nortel, which is a kind of a love-hate thing here in Canada. It was a big company, and I placed this hard-to-find lawyer there. And so I said, you know, I'm going to do some – and I looked for, did a job for a patent lawyer. I said, I'm going to do some legal searches. And I went down to with my buddy to this legal firm, a big building downtown, and the guy said – after we had all the rapport, and we weren't as reportive with this guy, but he said, how many law jobs, legal jobs did you work last year? And I told him, again, two or three. He said, why should I work with you? I'm telling you, Alan, when you do the bag stuff, oh, just give me a chance. I'm a good general recruiter.
I got to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
I need to know, when they ask that question, when they say, how many did you work, why does that matter? Are you interested in the number of recs that I filled, or are you interested in the quality of my process and my people?
Oh, I like the way you put that, the quality of my process. You know what, Amy? I got to tell you something. You tell me. Let me just look that up. I've got quotes here from you, okay? I'm going to use your own words against you. Just wait a second. Sorry, everybody.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
He's doing his research.
Here's what she says. I'm not impressed by your office address. I'm not impressed by who started your firm. And I hate blowhards who go on about their awesome process and epic connections who look like morons when they send me only okay candidates. You know what? But in practical terms, really, if you work 50 jobs in a certain field, you're going to know everybody already.
Not necessarily.
No.
Rayanne,
actually,
your turn.
It could give you microvision.
Rayanne,
you want to say something? I was just echoing.
I just
thought it was cute the way they said not necessarily in a row, and I thought I'd add.
Anybody else want to comment on that?
Yeah, 50 what, though? I mean, if you put in 50 AP clerks you found on Monster, then you're not super headhunter.
Nope.
I mean, you got to put it in context. You can't just
say, I filled 50 positions,
I'm awesome. That's not true.
Okay,
yeah,
so I should come back strong
and
I should just make that assumption that those guys weren't doing a lot of digging. They were just pulling guys off of the internet, and they were hard-to-find guys.
And it shouldn't have anything to do with you. You should work with me because I'm me, and I've said that before too. They should work with you because they like you, they trust you, they think that you can deliver, not because of how you compare to some other agency. That shouldn't matter.
Well, you're living in a dream world, okay?
I like it here.
Okay. Now, Amy, what happened in the end of that story? Because this was all about you, not about me, right?
It's actually still kind of going on. I've been talking to the recruiter, and he's going to come out at some point. He wants to see the office and all that, and that's fine.
He wants to see the office?
Coming out. I wouldn't say that.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe he saw the cookies.
Okay.
The RBC cookies. Who knows?
Right.
But,
yeah.
Okay. So it's fine. I mean, it's okay. We're going to see how it goes. His guy had an interview, which went well, so we're going to see how that goes. But I will never, ever, ever speak to this business development guy ever again. I'm not going to do it.
That's because he scolded you for wasting his time. Is that right?
He schooled me for wasting his time.
Yeah, that's your big problem, right? He scolded
no.
you for wasting his
he,
time.
He,
is that?
My big problem is that he presented himself in such a completely immature and unprofessional fashion. If he wanted to write that email and he wanted to run around his office and scream and, you know, Amy Alla at that company is horrible and blah, 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 fine. Don't put that stuff in an email to me. Don't demand a response from me.
Because I notice, Amy, that you have another blog posting, and you say our third-party recruiter is mad because several candidates have been submitted, some good, mm-hmm. some not, and we haven't interviewed any of them, okay? And then you go on to say there's been some debates internally around paying a full-time placement
right.
fee versus contracting. So
right.
obviously you guys don't know what you're doing. And then you say, I'm doing my best to keep the third-party recruiter up to date and informed. But, hey, sometimes things don't go according to plan. Well, that's recruiting. A little shrug that relieves you of all the responsibility. And then you go
what
on to
complain. What
responsibility
should I have in this?
You say to him, and here's what you say to him when he complains. You say, tough cookies. I don't care. I've got my own problems. I'm under intense pressure. And in this business, this is what you're telling him, with so many personalities involved, you have to expect surprises. And you're an idiot if you don't. Are you really telling me as a recruiter that if you guys screw up because you don't know how to define the position, that I should just take it because,
no,
well,
be very,
you know, there's so many people
clear.
Involved. What?
And hopefully you'll understand this, okay? Let me be clear as glass, okay? We told him from the beginning, the person who was in the job who left is the person that we want. You clone that guy, that's a permanent placement right there. Done, okay? Otherwise, we're probably going to look at contract to hire. Doesn't mean we won't absolutely under no circumstances do a perm placement. Just it's a very, very narrow, like literally a clone of the guy who was in the job for a while. Otherwise, we need to do contract to hire. Please recruit accordingly, okay? He sent me somebody that we had already interviewed in person and rejected and was mad because we rejected him. Hello, we rejected him long before you ever met her.
Well, I got news for you, some advice. Learn how to write, because that's not what you said in the article, okay? You misled me, made me look like an idiot, and then say, well, it's a completely different story. You didn't understand it. That's not fair, okay? Is Andy
here?
You
or the business guy, the business development guy?
Is Andy here? Is Andy here? No? Halftime Andy?
Andy's not here.
Okay. Singing time. Are you ready? Okay.
What are we singing?
I read an article yesterday about having the holiday blues. It was on Google Plus in my new unsuspended identity. And Doralee M., she's some social worker, was talking about having the holiday blues. And I thought, it's January already. And then I realized it's Chinese New Year's. That's what she was talking about. I'm just not diverse enough, you know. And I realized there's no good sad songs for the Chinese New Year. I think it really helps to have a song like Blue Christmas, because misery loves company, and it can really help you to know you're not alone when everybody else seems to be having fun. They might not be, but you think they are because you're depressed. So we're going to sing a couple of verses of Song Sung Blue by Neil Diamond. Are you
Yay.
In, Amy? Amy, are you in?
I am. I don't know the words, but
Animal,
you know,
need better music.
Do my best.
You know the tune? Do you know the
tune,
Amy?
I do.
Alan, are you singing? You seem noisy today. Are you singing?
Who?
I'm asking you, Alan Fuhrer. Are you singing?
Oh, Animal, you would lose every listener if I ever...
Rayanne, are you with me?
Absolutely.
Maureen, you must know this one.
I'm here.
You're singing Song Sung Blue?
Sing it. Maybe I'll recognize it.
You don't remember it, Maureen?
What? Neil Diamond?
Generation.
Come on.
What is it? Song Sung Blue?
Song Sung Blue?
Okay.
Yeah.
Even if you don't like
Rayanne.
It. Sounds
okay.
Familiar.
Rayanne, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Right. There's no music. Just you and me, okay?
All right.
One, two, three. Song Sung Blue. Everybody knows why.
I remember this.
Song Sung Blue.
Everybody grows wise.
Hey, am I cut off?
Me and you are subject to
the blues now and then. But when you take the blues and make a song, Rayanne, you sing them out again. Can we do it once more? Or is that enough?
It's sappy.
Song Blue, Rayanne, like a willow. Okay, hey. Birthday time, Kathy Manis. It was her birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday, Kathy. She's not hiding it.
Are you here, Kathy?
I am.
Happy birthday to you, and congratulations.
Happy birthday,
your son
Kathy.
Got accepted at university. How much did you pay?
I didn't pay a cent.
Good for you. Congratulations. Is there anything special we should say to you? I don't like the song Happy Birthday anymore. You know, is that good enough, Song Sung Blue?
Oh, well, I hate Neil Diamond, but
oh,
you know what?
What?
I can't
what?
Neil Diamond.
Unacceptable.
What about Mary Barry Manilow? Okay, here's what I'm going to do for Kathy. I'm going to read what she wrote on Facebook. Sorry, I know you folks who on Twitter who complain, you know, I'm talking a lot today. Tough luck, okay? Here's what Kathy said. For a mom who has stayed at home to work virtually for the past 15 years to take care of her son, well, to have so many wonderful people wish me a happy birthday is just beyond my comprehension. Thank you all for making this birthday the best I've ever had. The icing on the cake was having my son get accepted to his first university. My Yiddish mamela. Yeah, baby, okay. Now,
this is the cool thing about Facebook. I actually received a message from Ben Gotkin. Do you know Ben?
I was on that list, dear.
Yeah, and that was really cool to receive a personalized thank you to everybody that had sent him birthday wishes saying.
It wasn't personalized.
Who would have
it was an orgy of names in there saying thank you, okay?
But it was nice.
I would recommend that, Rhianne. Thank you for bringing that up. I think that if somebody wishes you happy birthday on Facebook, first of all, Ben Gotkin, In the Trenches, I think his blog used to be called, he said that birthdays have been totally transformed by Facebook because he had a really bad day. And then, you know, then whenever he looked at his Facebook page, there were these tons of people, you know, wishing him happy birthday, me included,
yep.
Rhianne included. I wouldn't have known when his birthday is. I barely know the guy. But there I am patting him on the back. He said, and I have to agree, that is an Internet creation and a Facebook-specifically creation, the birthday, you know, greeting thing. And then he sent us all a thank you, just like Kathy Manis did, telling us it was so fantastic. And you know what? That made me feel good, and I think that's good suck-up. That is good
suck-up
social media.
You know what else made my birthday so great is I went out with the love of my life, and he gave me some gorgeous diamond hoop earrings. So
nice.
Are you pulling the rug out from under me? I thought it was because I wished you a happy birthday, okay? I still claim that for the people listening, this is a real, you know, you're going to say, I listened to the Recruiting Animal Show and listened to you shouted the whole time and I hung up finally. This is a good lesson. Amy, don't you worry that I'm hogging your spotlight. All that means is you got another chance to come back because I'm not covering all your topics, okay? But this is a good lesson in social media. You know, I go out of my way to say happy birthday to a guy I barely know who never acknowledges me. I should mention that online. And here he sends me a thank you. You think I don't feel good about that? I do. Kathy Manis. She sends me a thank you, and they didn't include it because I'm a modest man. At the end of this message, she said, and let's go listen to the Recruiting Animal Show tomorrow. This is the smart way to operate.
We have somebody that wants to make a comment.
Go ahead.
Bright moves. He says it was earlier, guys.
Go ahead. It was earlier in the discussion about recruiting with jobs you haven't had experience in, but we've moved on, so sorry.
No, Mike Grant from Bright Moves, first time caller. I respect you. Come on, you talk to Amy.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess if I'm calling a recruiter, it's because I don't have the talent in-house to recruit for a given role, and if I ask the question, how many times have you recruited for a certain type of role, it's mainly because I want to know you know what you're doing.
Right.
I mean, right? You've got the experience. Otherwise, why don't I just do it myself?
Yeah,
okay,
it absolutely depends on context. It definitely does. I mean, if that were the case in this situation, then it, you know, we're only working with a couple of agencies, and we're looking for technical agencies because it's such a super technical role. I'm not going to call, you know, if an accounting and finance recruiter calls me and says, oh, well, I filled one technical person last year, well, that's not your niche, so it probably wouldn't be somebody we'd work with, but then again, I'm not going to work with someone because they say, oh, well, I filled 50.
Well,
in most cases,
we're recruiting for lawyers. I mean, there are so many different areas of law practice. If you've only recruited for two lawyers, you're not the ideal recruiter to be finding me a lawyer, right?
You know what, Mike? I took the opposite tack from what you said. You said they're only asking if I've done this kind of work before because they want to know I know what I'm doing. Well, everybody else here is saying that's my opening. My opponent is giving me a fantastic opening to prove that I do know what I'm doing and I don't have to have worked 50 who knows what jobs before I do it. I'm good at sourcing people. I'm good at recruiting people. I'm a fast learner, a quick listener, whatever learner. I can't even say it. You tell me the job order. All I need is some buzzwords, and I'll bring you a person in good time. I mean, I know their point, and I honestly don't think I could beat that objection, but you just gave a good one. You know, all I want to know is that you can do the job. Well, I can do the job. That's what Rhianne is saying. That's
right.
What Amy Alla is saying, even
yeah.
though I haven't necessarily worked 50 people. Try me out. It's not going to cost you anything.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Okay.
Hey, I have a question for Amy. And this is actually not really talking about working with a client, but rather working with candidates.
Yeah.
And we're seeing a lot of this going on right now, but the resumes that are false or don't really – I think it's interesting that this is coming out a little bit more now, especially given – I don't know if you saw the blog post yesterday or the day before about I wrote one called The Resume is Dead, and then right after that, another one came out that was featured on Google about resumes, more and more companies saying, yeah, don't send us your resume.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
So how do you think we're going to – I mean, will –
You got a question,
Rhianne? Yeah, I'm getting there. Will the application, the online application process weed out individuals who lie on their resumes or use somebody else's history or – I mean, what do you think the chances are that we're going to see a little bit more honest candidate field?
Oh, I can
not
only hope.
With ATSs.
I mean, the online application or the application is more of a I'm not a lawyer, but more of a legally binding document, I guess, than the resume would be. You can say whatever you want on a resume, but an application you're electronically signing, saying this is all true, and you can fire me if it's not. So hopefully, but I don't think the resume is going anywhere anytime soon, and we just have to – it's one area of social media helps because you can look at did people really go to that school? Did they really work with this person? Did they really do the things they said they did? I don't know. It's never going to be a perfect answer.
But
yeah.
If somebody knows how to use
the technology –
Hey, there's somebody there who never talks. I can hear a voice that I'm not familiar with. Shoot.
This is Mike Brennan. But I mean,
go ahead. Mike Brandt, it's your big day. Go ahead.
Well, from the technology side, all the vendors, including us, are adding in a lot of functionality inside the applicant's profile. So while the applicant could still lie on their resume, you're going to have an entire LinkedIn profile of that person right there when you bring up their profile. So,
but, like, they can't lie on that either, eh?
Well, but they're less likely to because it's public. I mean, you're heavily scrutinized with your public profile, whereas you can lie on a resume. It's a lot harder to lie on your public profile because someone's going to call you out on it.
Right.
Okay, that's interesting.
But people,
good answer.
People still do it all the time. Amy, have you had candidates that have done that, have lied,
oh,
and you've had to call them out?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've had just one. He sent me a resume, and he had worked at this particular company where I happened to know about three recruiters. And I said, well, that's really interesting. You know, how long were you there? Who'd you work with? I know so-and-so. And he hung up on me.
Oh.
So...
That's
apparently
actually the more beneficial way.
Yeah.
Okay, next question, resume. So that was an interesting point. The LinkedIn profile is likely to be more honest than a resume because it's wide open to anybody to challenge it. But then again, not everybody has a motive to challenge it.
Right,
like,
so are most recruiters looking at both, LinkedIn and resumes? I know I was, but I'm not actively recruiting.
Good question.
Yeah.
Amy Alla,
well, we do,
when you get a resume,
a
you go to the
sourcing.
LinkedIn profile?
A lot of times we start with LinkedIn, though, because we do a lot of sourcing
right.
on LinkedIn. So we usually don't even see a resume until we've already looked at their profile and determined that somebody we want to talk to. Resume comes a lot later in the process.
Okay, so I'm going to go on. That you've told us something interesting. You're using LinkedIn quite heavily. Okay.
Yes.
So, but the thing is, you're not in a position to judge the person's background. Whatever they say on LinkedIn could be a lie as well. Listen.
Hey, guys, it's Lee in Toronto.
Yeah, hi, Lee Shamul. What do you want to say? First-time caller. Nice to hear from you.
Oh, first, give me a break. I just wanted to second that and say that LinkedIn is sort of the starting point these days. But I will tell you that there is a lot of falsification information on people's LinkedIn profiles, and or it looks like it's updated because LinkedIn has some auto stuff that makes it look like their present job is their present job. So much of it is outdated, though. You still need to follow up with people to get them to send you a resume, but it is the starting point.
You just got someone to love you. Maureen loves to hear that LinkedIn is outdated, okay? You just want somebody in your corner. I just want to say that. And also, I just want to say that
I don't rely on it.
But Animal, didn't you just
Here's a guy who knows all about RIM from the inside. He was a senior recruiter there. He told me some great stories about the things that he did. Okay, and you're glad you're not there anymore, right?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Especially in the last few days.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But, Amy, before the time is gone, I want to ask you something. You said on your blog, in public, I don't know if it's on your LinkedIn profile, you said, I am ashamed of my past behavior. I look back on some of my
past behavior
as a third-party recruiter, and I just cringe.
I do.
What did you do that was so awful that
I
would...
I was a cocky little brat. I was. I was 20-something, and I had a couple placements under my belt, and I had my niche was residential construction, and so I just thought I was the smartest kid in the room, and I could just run the world, and it was ridiculous.
And how come you didn't have the same sympathy for this other jerk who was just a cocky young recruiter like you?
You know, it wasn't like he had been great 100% on his best behavior throughout the entire process, and then the email came out of nowhere. There had been like little mini outbursts, which I called him on and said, okay, you know, I get it, you're frustrated, I know this is a big deal, it's your first job order, but... So it wasn't as if I didn't try to kind of recognize that behavior and remember, okay, if I hadn't had 13 in my life.
It's human nature. When I do it, it's okay. When someone else does it, it isn't. Here's something else you said.
I got to plow
through some quickies. If for anybody who's still with us in the listening audience, okay? You said corporate recruiters, this is essentially what I gathered you to be saying.
Okay,
corporate
so
recruiters
what you gathered
are
or
late.
Is what I said? Because there could be
Well, you'll tell me. I'll put it out and you'll tell me if it's what you said. I read between the lines, okay? I have a special sense. Corporate recruiters are lazy. This is what you said. Recruiters should not be allowed to go internal until they've cut their teeth as third-party recruiters. It's essential training for, as the great Matt Charney said on Twitter, in third-party recruiting, you learn to hustle. So it looks like you're saying corporate recruiters are lazy, bureaucratic, government worker types because they know they have a paycheck coming no matter what they do.
Not at all. I said I wouldn't be as good as I am at my job now as a corporate recruiter if I had not spent time in the agency and learned to hustle, like Matt said.
Yeah, so the guys who aren't in agencies, they don't hustle. Isn't that the logical conclusion?
That's the animal conclusion.
No, it's the logical conclusion. Okay, you don't want to answer. I don't mind. Okay, now here's something else you say. Look, buddy, now you hate agency recruiters, okay? You're like a smoker. You're like a smoker who gives it up. You know what? I think I've mentioned here before, I used to work in an office. It wasn't that large, and it was before non-smoking was instituted as a general rule. Almost everybody but me smoked. And then this woman who sat across from me, my friend, she was a heavy smoker. She stopped smoking. And all she did after that was complain about the smokers. And we had a vulgar guy there who really spoke his mind. And he said to her, there's nothing worse than a reformed whore. Okay? He was very blunt. Sorry to be so coarse on the show. But in fact,
you were
a third-party recruiter, and now you do nothing but put them down. Okay, now that you're on the other side.
I do nothing but put them down.
Yeah, you hate agency recruiters. And you say, I don't know if I should write this posting because I don't like to throw a recruiter under the bus. That's exactly what you like to do. That's your whole writing career is built on that.
It is absolutely not. Maybe every other, maybe 50%.
Okay, anyway.
Not the whole writing career. Here's the thing. I blog from my personal experience. You know, I don't blog. I mean, one guy, the 75 comments on that blog, and a lot of them were positive, and a lot of people agreed with me, and I got a lot of LinkedIn messages from corporate recruiters who said, thank God somebody said it, because none of us could actually say it out loud. So there is that. So it ain't like I'm just talking to myself
here. Did I ask you for that? You know, I want to move on, okay? We're almost out of time. Now, you said you said that third-party agency recruiters are arrogant. You say, you think I gave you the job order because I can't do it myself. No, I gave you the hard ones so I could work on the 40 others. Now, you right. want to comment on so the thing is, for third-party recruiters, now that LinkedIn is available for sure, and you guys can just go on there and,
nope.
and cruise for people, you
nope.
only give them the people you can't find on LinkedIn. Is
I
that
see,
right?
I see where you're going with this, but let me be clear. My company, and I'm speaking specifically from my experience where I sit in my company, we have 5 full-time dedicated recruiters who all came from agencies. Okay, we're a mid-sized company with a very robust recruiting team. We're expected to essentially operate like an in-house agency. Okay, there are smaller companies or even companies our size that don't have dedicated recruiters. That's who the agency recruiters should be working with. That's who they should be going after. I mean, I've started asking agencies, why do you want to work with me? What's the payoff for you to work with me, knowing that this is how my company is set up? Now, there's also very, very large companies, the Microsoft and the Amazons of the world, that need tons and tons of contractors, and you can do a lot of volume with them. So that's an option for agency recruiters. But if you're talking about my company and my tiny little piece of the world, that's the kind of help that we're going to need. It's those oddball positions where we're all dedicated to other things, and this is a completely random specialized thing that is going to take us a lot of time if we have to stop doing other things to go and find that guy.
Okay. So how do we find out which recruiting firms that we should recruit to ask for business and not?
Really?
You just asked me, you just said, "Don't. What are you coming to me for? Go to somebody else who doesn't have a dedicated team of third-party recruiters."
Okay.
How do we find that out?
How do you find out if a company doesn't have
your kind of
recruiters?
Recruiting team?
Well, can you just call and ask? Like, if somebody calls and asks,
what
that,
do
I'm
ask?
Happy to tell them.
I want to know the words,
hey,
remember? I'm the guy.
Process?
I like to know exact words.
What's your recruiting process? How do you
well,
find
no, no.
people?
What do I call up? I say, I want to speak to the recruiting manager. Is that what I ask
sure,
for?
Sure. Why not? Director of recruiting, recruiting manager, recruiter,
and
HR,
then you
whoever
say,
you want to talk to.
Hi, Amy. My name's Recruiting Animal. Tell me about your recruiting process. Is that what I say, or do I say something else? How do I introduce myself? We're almost out of time. Please
That's
tell
what
me.
I would do. I mean, I've said this on this
no,
show
No,
before.
Tell me
I
the words. Don't tell
I would
me
say, this is what I would say. I'd say, hi, Animal. I'm Amy Alla. I'm a recruiter here in the Seattle area, and I noticed that your company is doing a lot of hiring. I've seen some postings and whatnot, and I'm just curious, what is your recruiting process? Do you have dedicated in-house staff, or do you ever go outside for help?
Uh-huh.
What's wrong
and
with that question?
Sometimes I go outside for help, but you know, yes,
okay,
I've
great.
Got dedicated.
Okay, great. Well, under what circumstances would you need extra assistance?
Okay, but you do go outside for help, Amy. But you're telling these guys, in spite of that, they shouldn't be working for you, right?
If they want to work on the job that I have once or twice a year, great. And if they can accept the parameters, fine. But they can't cry about it because I'm not giving them tons and tons and tons of business and spoon-feeding them the candidates that they need to be sending to me. I mean,
yeah,
I'm talking about
this particular
guy. Yeah,
but you're sounding like you want to push everybody away to begin with.
I don't think so. I think that there's a number of agency recruiters who would back me up on that.
Okay, anybody got questions for Amy that haven't speaked up? You know, Lee or Mike is now a talker, Alan, Rianne, anybody else who's here? Time's almost up. Any questions
no.
for Amy?
Yeah, Amy, what exactly are you looking for?
Oh, in this particular requisition?
Yeah.
A web designer. An e-commerce web designer UI/UX background.
Okay, you know what? If you're looking to, Alan, if you're looking to do some
no,
work,
no,
for,
I'm just curious.
Give her a call after the show, okay? Anybody got a theoretical question or want to know some specific thing about her experience that she hasn't mentioned yet?
You haven't asked.
What's her turn away rate?
Yeah.
For
your business development.
For agency recruiters calling me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I have probably 2 agencies right now that I work with very closely, and I probably turn away 1 a day. I mean, just cold calling me. So, but they're not asking that question. And that's the thing, guys. I'm not wanting to have relationships with people. I'm not wanting to partner with agencies when we need it. But that's not the usual approach.
Okay.
How should I have a question there. How should she deal with it if she's getting this many calls? I mean, she's still got a job to do. And she's getting bombarded daily from new recruiters.
It's really a fine line because the last thing I want to do is alienate the recruiting community, you know, especially in my area. I mean, I don't want to be the jerk that nobody wants to work with if I someday find myself needing a job. But at the same time, like you said, I do have a job to do, and I do have to manage my time, and I have to, you know, if I'm putting my name on an agency and going to my boss and saying, okay, we've decided to put this out, here's the guy I believe in that can help us out, and then I end up looking bad, I mean, that's not going to work either. And you guys understand that, I'm sure.
Okay.
I'm surprised that you take that many cold calls. That's not been my experience.
Because, you know, I mean, I can't hide behind my voicemail. I have candidates calling. We've got hiring managers. I wish I could. I know recruiters who do that, not here, but I know other recruiters who do that. I don't have that luxury. I have to answer the phone. And if it happens to be an agency calling me, you know, I have to be nice and professional.
Anybody else got anything else? Listen, Jerry's not here. I'm thinking that there won't be any after show today. Does anybody have a big protest about that, or is there a big demand for an after show?
Nope.
Okay. No big demand for an after show. Amy, you're not going to get graded, you lucky girl. It was good for you last time.
She did great.
I had a great score. I think I got like 10,000 points last time or something.
Yeah, okay. Well,
you'll
have to do it again. But now, see, you're a blogger. Now it's really stuck in my mind. All I have to do is read your blog. After you get about 10 postings, you can come back and...
I can come back 10 more postings because I live for this stuff, Animal.
Face the music. Is there anything,
you know,
any message for my audience that you'd like to say before we go?
I'm not as bad as I sound.
Thank you!